right, welcome to Sheep Farm and another bit of an impromptu Sunday night. It's 20 past eight on a Sunday, the 4th of September, and we're just sat here going to have a bit of a chinwag, an explanation about the PayPal. Well, they're not really pals, but PayPal subscription cancellation of the Sheep Farm. With me tonight, as usual, is our Chris.
Evening.
Yeah, he's got his new mic. He sounds fantastic. It's like having Barry White with me.
I always sound fantastic.
It's like having Barry White with me, with his dulcet tones. which piss are you drinking tonight?
Some Shiraz Malbec.
Shiraz Malbec? I thought Shiraz was a different one to Malbec. That's my wine knowledge for you.
I didn't know that, right? But different countries have different rules.
Right.
I only found this out the other day off an Italian mate of mine that the Italians don't mix wines, mix grapes. This is Australian, and they can mix a Shiraz and a Malbec together.
Right.
But then Spain has a whole other set of bureaucracy to get through, apparently, to make wine. Apparently, they're all different. I didn't know any of that. Got proper gangster rules.
Wine rules.
Yeah. And France has got a whole load of different ones.
Yeah. They'll just count down tools if you stamp on grapes wrong.
I know one, when I went to that on that trip to Bordeaux, they said once a vine reaches, I can't remember how they described it, at different levels of different grades, when it reaches
like
a top grade, it doesn't change. They can't change it.
Right.
And the woman actually said when we were there, this woman, we're in the vineyard in Bordeaux, and she said, the trouble is, as soon as they're going up to be a good grade, the Rothschild just buy them all up.
That's a surprise.
She actually said that.
Yeah.
I've got some good, I probably mentioned this before, I've got some good photos I'll have to dig them out of. When I went to Bordeaux, because I saw some proper Masonic architecture around the vineyards, which I found interesting.
Well, it's so amazing. In France, I know we're not talking about that, but in France, there's so many large castles and manor houses that are just empty. There's nobody in them.
Yeah.
But they were all owned by barons and dukes and things like that.
Old thing, isn't it? That, what's that show where they're building that villa? What's it called? Missus watches it, used to watch it. That guy with massive
Grand Designs.
No,
them English guys are doing. Yeah, I know what you mean. Escape to the whatever it is.
Chateau. And he's got a massive moustache. It makes me feel itchy.
Yeah, it does me. It makes me feel like he's got like sausages stuck to it and stuff. Yeah, baked beans and stuff like that. Come into baked beans, Chris. Heinz, right? And you're going to piss yourself at this one now. Lorraine sent me a. She sent me a Daily Mail article, and here, listen to this one. Heinz launches vintage fashion range featuring ketchup stains.
What?
Heinz partnered US clothing resale platform ThredUp to launch vintage drip line.
They've got vests. They're going to own a vest.
Well, that's what she said. I wonder if they've got vests for Chris.
Vest.
They've got tomato patches on them and like ketchup mark type of thing.
Oh, weird. Why?
I know. Why? Yeah. What's all that about? And this girl's wearing them, and she doesn't look like a girl. But anyway, there you go. she looks like a mannequin.
One thing we didn't bring up in that last one, I don't think we brought it up, did we? Because we went off on the right tangent. The that little girl, boy, on the catwalk.
Catwalk,
how old was she?
Four. Four-year-old.
Been transgendered since they were two.
Yeah.
I've got a four-year-old. She definitely wouldn't be able to make that kind of decision.
No. I don't think...
Unless pushed, would I say.
Well, unless convinced. Talked into it. Which is... That's the worrying part of it, isn't it? Just let me try and pull that up. Yeah, that is the worrying part of all this, that they're actually convincing them that they're the opposite. Just to get the numbers up or get a story out there. That is...
That's quite disturbing, I think.
Quite.
Well, very, yeah.
That's it. Daily Mail, the world's youngest transgender model, Noella McMaher, 10-year-old, who is set to make millions. That's fine, then. That's fine. All bets are off.
I thought she was four.
Well, Noella McMaher, 10, identified as a transgender at 2.5, nearing 3.
All right.
Her parents say she was born with a fierce and confident sense of identity. She was born with that, Chris. Just bought that day, they knew. She was born with it.
Yeah. That's what you always think when you see a brand new born baby, isn't it?
You do, yeah. 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 You don't think, that baby looks like Winston Churchill, like all other ones do. And self-assurance can clearly be seen on the catwalk, where 10-year-old Noella has become the world's youngest transgender model. Noella, who fashion insiders say could make her first million next year, first identified as a transgender at 2.5. According to her biological mother, Jimmy, D, 35, who now identifies as a trans masculine male.
Right, so there wouldn't have been any talk in their household about all that stuff, would there? To push her in that direction. Yeah.
No. Cites Noella as an inspiration.
I mean, yeah.
I presume you were called Noel.
Yeah. I mean, they've... Yeah, there's no point going on about it, to be fair.
No, they're in. Anyway, let me discuss PayPal.
Yeah.
So, if you've been listening, you know that PayPal have stopped our account, which it's sort of no biggie. It is, because it causes a bit of work and a bit of hassle for people having to resubscribe and stuff like that. But we do use another one called Stripe, which is quite a big operation, actually. Now, I'm not saying it's any better or worse than any other parasite operations, but it seems to be working fine, and it always works better than PayPal anyway.
I always found PayPal. I use it very, very rarely, but I always find it clunky as hell. I really do.
Well, I never used PayPal. Personally, I've never used PayPal. But I've got to say, it's. I've had three businesses, and it's... Well, I can't count Sheep Farm as a bit. I've used it three times in operational status, let's just say. It closed one of the businesses down. That were about 5 years ago, just by changing overnight its terms and conditions. Another one, we only ever did one transaction on it, and it closes the account because it said we needed a medical license in Health Bunker, which we don't, because we're not a medical practice. But anyway, and he couldn't talk to anybody. And anyway, and now it's done this with no explanation or anything. There's never been an issue. We've never had a non-payment or a problem with a client. A subscriber, you know, there's never been an issue with refunds or things like that. So I don't really know why, apart from what we do is the question. But how do we go forward? Right. I know some people are asking, can I play into a bank? Now, it's straightforward paying into a bank. I understand that. But the issue is, I've then got to set it all up manually. And at this moment in time, I'm just not got the time to do that side of it. So that's the reason why we won't be giving bank details out at this minute in time. That's not to say we won't ever. We might need to. We might have to do it manually, for all I know, because we might not be able to accept payments like this from any credit card company or any people that do what we do. So, yeah.
Well, that would be the first way to switch people off, wouldn't it? Then they'd have to go to the old way. And maybe even the older way, like you say, maybe sending checks.
Sending checks or whatever, postal orders through. So that's the reason. And it's the same with the donate button. I'm not comfortable with the donate button because I personally don't want or need the money. So this isn't about money for me or Chris. I can think I speak for you. This is not about that. I don't want to earn a living from Sheep Farm. The reason we set this up is to hopefully mean that Chris can put more time in. That's it, you know?
Do you cover your costs for the website? The thing is, as well, though, as we got more watchers, shall I say, you've put more into the website as well.
I have, but like I keep saying, that is a side issue in effect. It's a hobby. I don't want to be... So going back to the donation button, and I'll come on to something else about that in a sec, but I don't need the money. Now,
I do.
In the parasitical world that we live in, yeah, in 2 years' time or whatever, we might all need it. Now, that's a different world. Now, as we stand today, I'm all right, thank you. I don't need to do that. And also, I'm happy not doing as well. But the time is the issue more than anything. And that's why, from a personal perspective, I need Chris to help a couple of days a week. And that is the only reason why we've set up subscriptions. The only reason. So Chris can stop working in the kitchen and do work,
still work in the kitchen.
You still will work in the kitchen.
Well, I'm balancing my life between kitchens, sheep farm, and my sculpture business.
Yes. Yeah. In no particular order.
Well, I'm just trying to get made around.
So anyway, that is the reason. So sheep farm is a massive part of his life, but it's not a massive part of me earning future because I don't want it to be. Now, I'll come on to some of it. If the podcasts I look at, you could look at and say, that's a product. So people get something for your work and your output. That's fair enough. And people could pay for that, right? So I'm comfortable with that. A donation, I'm not comfortable with that because that's just somebody giving me something for nothing in my thinking. I understand it's done with the best intentions and I appreciate that personally.
I'll leave my bank account details.
It's called Bottomless Pit Limited, blah, blah, blah.
I get what you're saying, Fatty, yeah.
I don't feel comfortable, honestly. If it were down to donations right at this minute in time, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do sheep farm. I'd walk away.
But also, Fatty, different people are comfortable with different things because some people don't do subscriptions. They just do donations.
I understand that. I'm not knocking anybody who does whatever they need to do. Richie Allen, Rise Above, do their thing with the fantastic merchandise. Richie does his thing. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm saying, personally, right, I earn my living. I don't need any more.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with what I've got.
Yeah, fair enough.
This to me means more to me than money. And I don't ever want money to come in between it. Now, if I ever wrote a book and sold it, then that's different. That's a tangible thing, you know? But as far as if I needed it, it'd be a different conversation. But then I'd probably be looking, right, where do I earn some money from? I wouldn't be doing it from this platform, maybe. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Well, also, I mean, like me making my cheap fan bottle opener, which you can buy on Gaping Gobs, I'm meant to. that's to make a bit of money through my sculptures. But it's like you say, it's a product, and I did it for the love of it more than the money. Let's be honest, because I sold a few. Thanks to anyone who's bought one. I'm also going to make sheep farm clock. Hopefully, when I get time, but never have any time. I was working this morning. Oh, go on. Sorry, anyway. I was just going to change something.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a sec. But so if you've had a problem with PayPal, this is what I want to clear up, really. If you've had a problem with PayPal, i.e., your monthly, anybody who's joined for a year, it doesn't really matter. But if you join for a monthly or quarterly payment, and you've come to the end of that cycle at this moment in time, PayPal obviously aren't accepting your payments, you can restart via the other payment method. And I'm going to get another one as well. So I need the protection of having two there. But anyway, and I'll put all the links and the way you do it in the description on this. And we'll put this on YouTube as well as the website. And then all the links will be on there anyway. So I don't want to go on about it because, to be honest with you, I didn't even want to deal with PayPal. I hate them.
Does that mean we're on someone's radar if they shut down as PayPal?
Well, so people are saying that, but we'll never know whether we're on their radar or whether they've picked up an AI, something or other, and said we don't like dealing with that or whatever it might be. I don't know. And being honest, I don't really give a shit. I don't care.
Yeah, funny thing is, we were having a conversation about it the day before.
Do you know what? I don't like dealing with them because they're hard work. It's hard work. Fingers crossed, I've had no hassle from Stripe on any. PayPal were a nightmare. But anyway,
I think you can see, though, that's been the way the world's been going for a long time, isn't it? It started off where you couldn't get through to anyone on the phone because you were on hold for 2 hours. And now most websites don't even have a phone number, do they?
No.
So you're just frustrated that you can't speak to anyone. I've got, with my online sculpture shop, right? Someone sent me an email that someone's copied my sculptures in America because I sent about 50% to America. And they've copied my, they've ordered a sculpture off me too, in fact, I've posted them to them. They've molded them and reproduced them quite badly as well. They're painted horribly. Why you do that, I cannot get my head around. Because, I mean, my sculptures are all right, but they're not that good. And yeah. I don't understand why, you get, what do you mean, yeah? I don't understand why someone would go to all that trouble to rip off someone else's artwork.
Because they can't do it. Because they haven't got the imagination.
They haven't, but I can't see how you get any gratification from that.
They don't need it. They're not interested in gratification. But, gratification is when they get paid.
But the point is, I'm sure they don't sell that many. And the point is, I can't speak to it. I've gone on Amazon numerous times. I don't know who to come. I mean, it could be.
Well, again, can remember when somebody copied his logos and put them on t-shirts?
Mm. Oh, yeah, Redbubble. Red I
emailed that Redbubble. Nobody's ever got back to me. Ever. No.
But that's like that Kafkaesque situation when you can't do anything and bureaucracy just stops everything.
Yeah.
Which is the world that these psychos love. That I communist. Put
a video on YouTube with the. Shill Jones on it, Dr. Shill Jones, and they copyrighted it, took it off without even ringing you up or, you know, there's no. And so, on one side, they can do, we cut you off. On the other side, you can't get through to anybody. I think Master Lee were talking about it, and he actually said it's the ultimate satanic dark side.
I just said,
I know he did. Yeah,
communism. It's, I don't know if you've seen that film, Brazil, that Terry Gilliam film, just reminds me of that. Bureaucracy, you just can't get past it. You're just stuck in.
I mean, this is definitely a planned thing, isn't it? The bureaucracy. Yeah.
I even noticed the DART charge, right? When I drive down south to Mrs. Farmers, the DART charge is clunky and hard to use.
Right.
You know, government websites aren't easy to use, are they? You know, when you pay tax and stuff, they're never easy. It leaves you frustrated.
Yeah.
You just think, with all the brass, you know, I don't know. It's almost like it's done on purpose.
Well, it is. It's not almost like it's done on purpose. They can't spend this much money. If you run a business and spent that much money on failure,
you'd have the sleekest website, wouldn't you?
I know we're going to talk about water in a bit, but that's the same thing. You know, billions are spent. Absolute billions are made and spent, and it's shit.
Mm. And well, look at this shite. Look at this shite with the gas prices and stuff at the minute. I mean,
I wrote a few notes down because I'm doing some research on something else. And there's three of the massive utility companies all funding the World Economic Forum. So BP, Engie, and Shell.
And the thing is, like we said, right? In fact, I was on Shell, actually. The thing is, they pay the government X amount of tax. I don't know how much it is. Is it 40%? They've doubled the prices, but we're still paying 40% tax.
Yeah.
Surely they could, instead of giving us that 400 quid, they're going to do it in winter because they're looking after us. Couldn't they just cut the price down? I mean, it's all bollocks, isn't it? It doesn't need to happen, does it? Under any circumstances.
It's just, again, inflation.
$7.5 billion last year.
Well, inflation equals profit. That's it. Inflation equals profit. Interest equals profit. The whole thing is profit. When them morons were clapping and banging pots and pans on their doorsteps in April 2020, as Richard Diol says, clapping seals.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, though?
Now they're going to pay the piper.
I remember saying at the time, they're going to go after the NHS because it's like the, what is it, September 11th, first responders. Heroes, oh, they're here. And they just let them all get blooming.
Yeah,
whatever they care. They all end up, loads of them died of
breathing all that dust and stuff.
Never even
like
been
that.
In the news, yeah. And they got told to go straight in there.
And they got told it were all in their heads, you know, when they were ill.
Yeah, when they got ill. Similar thing happened on a bigger scale, it's the same things that happened to the soldiers, isn't it? You know, I was in the, I got the post office, dropped me stuff off sometimes, dropped me scopes off. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, there's a plaque there, right? I was reading it. It's just in the post office sorting office, if you like.
Right.
Of the hundreds of soldiers that who worked for the post office who gave up their lives in the First World War.
Right.
These heroes. I mean,
did it actually say gave their lives?
Oh, I can't remember the wording, but it was along the lines.
They use words like that, though, don't they?
Yeah.
When it comes round to.
Actually, I never thought of it. Yeah, gave their lives.
They gave. That's sacrifice talk. They gave their lives.
Weren't we saying that on the podcast?
No, we took them.
We were saying that on a podcast file. Were we talking in private? Where it's interesting that, you know, when you hear that people got court-martialed for not for the first one. Why do we talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, what we did on
it's one the same
of
thing. Yeah. Were they coerced, just like the recent nonsense, or was it actually that you? Because he gave this story. The impression they gave was if you didn't join up, you got court martial. But was it the fact of you were just coerced, and if you didn't join up, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, there were conscientious.
You still have to give. But what I mean is, if you were a I would have been a conscious. I would have been one of them. So would you just gone to prison, or would? What I mean is, did you have to give your permission? They gave their life.
Like the arm spear tactics that Susan Mickey used to shame everybody. Mm-hmm. There was shaming going on. They had the government or the recruitment centres hired young girls to call young men cowards by throwing white feathers at them.
Right. Yeah, you can imagine. I mean, in them days when King and Country and all that lot and all that nonsense was everything.
Not only that, you understand that they set up the PALS regiments. So if a mill, you don't get much more Yorkshire saying mill, do you?
unless it's trouble up it.
Yeah, trouble at mill. So all the workers in the mill went to the recruitment office. And obviously, if there was some that didn't go, let's say somebody had.
Well, it'll be the same in the post office. In the post office, that I just you'd have had to been written off with some, you know, and you hear them stories out there where they had an illness, but they tried to hide it so that they got through because they were so desperate to fight in the First World War that no one knows why it started.
Or some of these were 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids
pretending
pretending to play wars outside, and all of a sudden there were a war on. Oh, I want to go. So they went.
I'd have been one of them at that age because I saw all those glamorous when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, we all did.
And if you think now, right?
That's how they sold it as an adventure, Chris. No, that's how they sold it as an adventure.
Yeah.
The great adventure.
For Queen and Country.
Yeah.
Or King and Country. So. Yeah. But then if you think now, in every little village, and there's a lot of villages here where I live in Cambridge, every one of them's got a little obelisk commemorating who gave their lives in the First World War.
Well, again, we've come to.
Surrounded by poppies.
We've spoken.
It's awful because people whose relatives died will go, you can't say that. So they get, again, similar to what was going on now, they get defensive because you're not, it's like you're attacking their family member that died in that. But you're not.
Does that remind you of anything?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's the same conversation. In our village, there's one.
Of course, there's in every village. And I would suggest, right, that those obelisks that are in the villages with it surrounded by poppies, they're not to commemorate it. They're laughing in his face that we gave our lives to die for their nonsense.
Yeah.
So they're taking
the symbol of heroin.
And like when they do the old poppies out of the Tower of London and that, it looks like blood flowing and all that.
Mm.
It's all just a piss take, isn't it? So is it that, and I don't want to upset anyone here, but when you wear that poppy and you give that money, I know that money might go to some good cause. I'm sure there's a lot of dodginess at the top of the CEOs in those charities, but are you actually walking around saying,
I supported them giving their life.
Yeah, I'm happy to die.
But again, it comes back to that thing. They fought for freedom.
Mm.
And then there were another war after it.
Yeah.
Not really freedom then, were it? Also, I look at it this way. So if they're fighting for freedom, but they can't actually leave the battlefield anytime they want, it's not really freedom, is it?
Because if you don't go, you go to prison.
Oh, you get shot. Bullet in the back of your head by a sergeant or someone like that.
I don't want to slag off any soldiers, by the way, or anyone who's been in military, because I nearly joined military as well.
So did I. Yeah. So did I.
I wanted to join Navy when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they get them when they're young, because I wanted to, because I mean,
because we all want to fight. We all want to be excited by stuff.
Well, yeah. And I got told at school I was unemployable, and the only way I could get I thought.
Funny, I did as well.
Get a career. that nice little pep talk I got in fourth year of high school.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always planned to join Navy so I could go around world at least.
Yeah, but,
learn
going back to the cowards as they called them in First World War. When somebody were in a trench and they were 15 and realised that real bombs were dropping, and all of a sudden they lost their mind, and there were many, many kids. At 15 and 16, that shouldn't have been there to start with, that were shot.
Can't imagine, can they?
They were shot as cowards. So, and You imagine, right? You're court martialed by a general who don't give a shit, who's gone to one of these.
Like a Melchior character.
Melchior character that sentences you to death for cowardice, for running away from the enemy or in the face of the enemy. And in reality, you're a 15 or 16. And even if you're a 25 year old guy, right?
Yeah.
And you've been, bombs have been dropping and your mates have been blown to shit. I think you've got some sort of excuse, if it is an excuse, if that's the right word, that you might want to leave.
I think there's only an amount of time you can hear bombing and gunfire without driving you crazy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is, but there's actually, you know, well, I'm sure there is studies done on it all, but we'll probably never find them. But
no, there is studies. There's quite a few. But anyway, I don't know how we're going into that conversation, but it was the same propaganda.
Anyway, I don't want to belittle any
Edward
Bernays,
wasn't it? But Edward Bernays, Chris, who did it in America. The propaganda in America, Edward Bernays did it. And he was working in France at one point.
Right.
As well. So, I mean, it's pretty well ingrained, the propaganda to get tens of millions of people, not just English or British or Commonwealth, because the same thing happened, drive happened in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada. You know, it weren't just English or Scottish or Irish, Welsh lads that got sent out there.
And look at the First World War. If you ask anyone, and I guarantee if you ask anyone what the First World War were about, they'll say they don't know.
Archduke Ferdinand
got shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an excuse to create a big world war? I don't think so.
No,
I'd recommend Nick Colostrum's book.
There's two better books than that. Because I've read them all.
Yeah, but what I mean is, you can't just say there's two better books than that. Colostrum's books, it's not a very big one, but what I mean is it's quite concise and it's not a big fat read, and it explains how...
Better was the wrong word. Nick's book is a good one to give you a good insight into it. But there are two books, and I forget the names, one called McGregor. Anyway, they wrote a first book.
I can't remember the name.
There are two books, one about how the war started, and it were all about Rhodes Roundtable people and all these people that were involved in the investment that went into it and why it couldn't fail. It were really good books, they are. I'll have to get the names. But
well, Nick's book's good. It's how Britain started the two world wars.
Yeah, and he's right. We did. The City of London started both wars.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
No doubts.
And again, I don't want to upset any veterans.
Both sides.
But it is worth looking into, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you one story that got me, Chris, that we didn't talk on again last week, was that all this about the Ukrainian families coming over here, and now the families that are taking them in are saying they haven't got enough money because all utility prices have gone up and they're smoking all the fags and drinking the coke.
is there that many came over? I said to you at the beginning, I don't think that many will turn up. Because whenever they say all these refugees are going to turn up, they never turn up, do they? Or a handful do. I remember do you remember that video when Romania, I think I've got this right, Romania came into the EU and they said they were all going to be coming over. And they waited for the first plane to come over. There's one Romanian on it and he actually lived there. And he'd just been over to Romania. And all journalists went towards him and he was just like, what the fuck's going on? He'd just come back to Romania for a holiday and come back again. They didn't arrive. They never landed. They didn't want to leave Romania. Why would they? We've got this delusion that Britain's, you know, everyone wants to come here. They don't. They're quite happy in Romania.
Well, the reason they come here is because they can earn more money to send back. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Or most of them anyway.
Yeah.
There were an article about mental health patients being locked away against their will. In asylums. This is a throwback to that at the beginning of all this, where one doctor now can sign you off
instead of section two or three, whatever it was. Yeah.
Instead of two, I think it was.
And is that going down? Is that going to the odds that world? I don't want to say this, but in China, they always say, like it's any better than us, where if you disagree with a political stance, you can go to a lunatic asylum as a nutter.
Yeah, well, the thing, I mean, you were talking about this, that they use the number 1984 a lot in this news article.
It's weird, isn't it? Weird.
Yeah, I did. It said here, last year, more than 50,000 patients were sectioned compared to 12,000 in 1984.
Yeah, but it says it again and again, doesn't it? It's weird. Yeah.
In a decade, I mean, it's feared it could hit 70,000 a year.
Why though? Didn't say why or...
No. No.
I mean, if you change the rules of why you're going to a nut house, it will go up. Mm, doesn't mean will. Everyone's going nuts, does it?
No. And obviously, there's another story that were around that time about time speeding up. And your heart rate is increasing.
Well, I mentioned that in one of our last podcasts, that it feels like time speeding up.
Yeah.
I saw a video about it a while ago, and I thought it was nuts at first. Because, I mean, I think everyone agrees that time feels like it's speeding up. Is it because we're all more stressed or whatever? I don't know. But it was funny, there's an article about it, and it involves your heart rate or something, doesn't it? And I saw a guy do a video, and he said, "When you know, when you look at a clock, and it goes tick, you know, tick, tock, whatever. And it used to be you do 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. I think Americans do 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
Yeah, and it, or 1 banana, 2 banana, that type of thing.
Yeah, it roughly equates to a second. But if you look at a clock, and I know this sounds nuts, right? But it doesn't matter, does it? Because we're happy to talk nuts. But if you look at a clock and just watch it go to 10 seconds and do 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 10, it's generally about 12 seconds, 13 seconds. Right. I've tried it numerous times. Don't look at the clock. Just go, well, look at it go to, you know, o'clock or whatever, or half past, and then go 1-1,000, 2-1,000. And generally, you look back, and when you get to 10, it's at about 12 or 13.
Well, time has sped up, and or it feels like it's sped up. The feeling of, it's like being an episode of Fringe.
Yeah.
It is that type of, I'll come on to Mark Devlin's chat in a bit, but I'll talk to some people there, and it is like us, the 5%. Now, somebody said there's more than 5%. I know, I'll come back to this bit here in a minute. And I said, where do you get the 5%? Well, there's, you know, 20-odd percent not had the jib-jab. And I said, well, you can't really count all them. Well, why not? Well, because, yeah, they've seen that the jib-jab's a bit of a con. Mm. But they still think what they're spraying in the sky is it doesn't exist, or 9/11 is what we were told. They've just seen one thing. They haven't awoken. Yeah. They've not come to any other decision apart from they're not having the arm spear because they don't agree with it.
Well, what if you did come to that conclusion with the arm spears, it should make it reflect back.
It should, but yeah. Most people are quite
happy
look now
back at everything.
Torremolinos was back open, so. You know what I mean?
Oh, by the way, just quickly, that video you sent me, that guy doing talking about sheep farm, it was lovely, that, wasn't it? You know the one, I think it was like 11 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot what it was called now. But
I forgot his name. But it seemed like I watched a few of his videos.
Yeah.
But he was saying how we like sheep farm. And I don't know, I've never heard anyone talk like that about it. I thought it was quite sweet.
Well, time speeding up anyway. Time definitely feels like there's something changed. I know time's a made up thing, so they can change it and make it faster. As in, you know, make it the feeling that it's faster or the sensation that time is getting faster.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that. I know it's more dust.
Dust, cobwebs.
Cobwebs everywhere.
Cobwebs. Ants. Definitely more cobwebs.
Garden.
Insects, ants, spiders, more spiders.
Yeah. I mean, is that the heat? Because we're in a global warming climate freezing.
No, because I've noticed global warming climate pissing down change. I've noticed that for a few years. I've noticed there's more moss as well, green moss.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah. But then, I mean, we are going down crazy road here because, I mean, none of that's provable, but it's observable, definitely.
Well, I think the vegetation's growing quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that for years now. Yeah. Yeah.
I do. Trees
so
and
is it,
like
is it
that.
The fact that nature is actually
sticking twos fighting. Up.
Yeah, sticking twos up. And then they're saying that nature's trying to kill us.
Yeah.
But they're the bastards that are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Nature's because actually giving an abundance back.
The parasite class are telling us the exact opposite of what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Just like the wettest drought, for argument's sake, in history, since records began in 1854. Right? Yeah, in Pakistan, half of it's washed away. So let's just say it's dry in somewhere. It's going to be wetter somewhere else.
Maybe it's the great rebalancing. Maybe it's the great rebalance fire.
Yeah.
Because another thing, like we were saying, I've seen deer around here. Never, in Yorkshire, I never saw a little baby deer wandering around. And I live on an estate.
What? And then there's that.
Yeah, just around the corner. I mean, they are native to Cambridgeshire. So you do see them
not on main roads, or not?
But I live in an estate. What were you doing in a little patch of forest around there? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you think of that, and I'm going to get this wrong. You say it, peregrine falcon. I can never say it. Peregrine falcon on top of that tower in central Cambridge. And then in Poole, I remember seeing an article about a bird of prey that had returned to this area and it had not been seen for 200 years. Right. Is that another bit of evidence that nature's given its... And then you've got the Australian, what do they call it, reef. And they said it's never looked so lively for 30-odd years.
Well, we are living in some kind of biblical retelling, aren't we? Because we've got the wettest drought, floods, plague, Sodom and Gomorrah, with all the nonsense that's going on in the wokery. You could go on and on and on and on, couldn't you? You could say there's witchcraft.